Amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about how not to start a marriage. So we're going to do a series on marriage and the family. So how not to start a marriage. We're going to take the life of Samson. And I got to take you back. We got to rewind to the year 1170 before Christ. The Bible says that at this time, the Jews were being oppressed by a group of people called the Philistines. They were being oppressed for 40 years by this group of people. And they cried out to the Lord, and at that time God raised judges to deliver them from their enemies. And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord appeared to Samson's mother and told her, you're going to have a child. And this child is going to be special. He's going to be a Nazarite until his death. He can't drink any wine, or he can't have any strong drink. He can't have anything from the grapevine. And he shall never, ever, ever cut his hair. Because the covenant of God with the Nazarite was that they had to let their hair grow. That was a sign of his sanctification unto the Lord. And the Bible says that Samson grew and the favor of the Lord was upon him. But Samson made a lot of bad relational decisions. And that's when we come in Judges chapter 14, starting at verse 14. At verse 1. Listen to the word of the Lord. One day, when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, a young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me. His father and mother objected. Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry? They asked. Why must you go to the pagan Philistines and find a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She looks good. His father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines, who ruled over Israel at that time. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with the woman and was very pleased with her. Later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion, and he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. He scooped some of the honey in his hands and ate along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it. But he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. As his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, as was the custom for elite young men. When the bride's parents saw him, they selected 30 young men from the town to be his companions. Samson said to them, "Let me tell you a riddle. If you can solve my riddle during these 7 days of celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing." All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. So he said, out of the one who eats came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to explain the riddle for us, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor?" So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, "You don't love me. You hate me. You have given my people a riddle, but you haven't even told me the answer." "I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother," he replied. "Why should I tell you?" So she cried wherever she was with him and kept it for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young men. So before sunset of the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. "What is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion?" Samson replied, "If you haven't plowed with my heifer," talking about his wife, "you wouldn't have solved my riddle." Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, took their belongings and gave their clothing to the men who solved the riddle. But Samson was furious about what happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best man at the wedding. Anybody see any problems so far with Samson's life? So the first point I want to make based on this passage, shallow people build shallow relationships. The only thing that caught Samson's eye was how the woman looked, it says in verse 1 and 2. And then in verse 3 it says, get her for me, for she looks good to me. So it wasn't based on who she was or anything. It was based on physical appearance. And that's how we have a lot of marriages that end up in divorce. Because shallow people build shallow relationships. They're attracted to the shallowness of life, the nothingness of life. There is no depth. There is no substance to that relationship. All Samson cared about was that she looked good. And a lot of men and women make decisions based on somebody, on their physical appearance, and that's all it is. So the basis of Samson's relationship was external, not internal. He didn't spend time to get to know her, who she was, none of that. Everything was based on external. He was infatuated by the way she looked. Samson was driven by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. He was a man of God, but he was full of the world. He was attracted to these worldly women. Samson was immature, demanding his parents, right? He told his parents, get her for me. His parents objected, aren't there so many beautiful women that you can marry from your own Jewish nation? Why are you going outside of your faith and your belief to marry someone else? So we see he was impetuous in his decision. He wanted this to happen when? Right now. I got to have her. You know, I got to date this guy. Or I got to date this girl. People that make impetuous decisions based on relationships. And this is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life. I believe you should take a little time with this. How many agree? And we all know people that make impetuous decisions. They met somebody online for 3 months. Next thing you know, they're moving to another state with them. Right? Impetuous decision. Samson was lustful and he wanted it to happen right now, demanding of his parents. So we see his immaturity. That he's even willing to marry a woman who's willing to whine and deceive and to undermine him. We're going to see that later. Why? One immature person is drawn to another immature person. I like what John Maxwell says in his book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. He's talking about leadership, but he has one law there that says the law of magnetism. And the law of magnetism goes like this. You attract who you are, not who you want. So if you are somebody that have a low self-esteem and don't think much about yourself, you're going to attract that type of person because you attract who you are, not who you want. How many men and women I know that are serving the Lord and they want somebody, you know, to be on fire for God or for that person to be reading the word and all that, but they're not doing it themselves because you attract who you are, not who you want. You know, we have sometimes carnal Christians that don't read the word, show up once in a while on Sunday, and they want a man and a woman of God. That a man and a woman of God filled with the Holy Spirit and with the word of God is not going to be attracted to you. You got to work on your spiritual life first. And that's why you see in relationships, why does this girl or this guy always attract the same type of person? Why they don't go outside of that? Because that's all that person's going to attract. If they're a level 6 in their mindset, they're only going to attract 6, 5s, and 4s. They're not going to attract an 8 or 9 or 10. So the best thing to do when you're single is to work on your own life, your spiritual life. Upgrade yourself so that you can attract a higher caliber of a spouse. It's important for you to work on yourself. So we see one immature person is drawn to another. We see his wife later on, she whines. The second point, healthy relationships are built on external factors like beauty and wealth. For the guys, it might be beauty. She looks good, and that's all it is. And then they get married, and they find out she was a real devil. For the woman, it might be this guy has money. Finally, I don't have to work. He can take care of me. This is my ticket to get out of this neighborhood. And they go after this guy with money, and next thing you know, he's full of demons. You know, he's abusive. You know, he's verbally abusive. He drinks. He smokes. He has all these problems. Why? Because they went based on external factors, not on who that person is. So we don't want to build relationships, especially if you're a Christian, on external. Number three, healthy relationships are built on internal commitments like honesty and faithfulness. When Samson posed this riddle, they couldn't solve it. So they went to his wife and told her, if you don't find out the riddle, we're going to burn you and your father's house down. So she went to Samson. Look at what it says, verse 16. So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, you don't love me, you hate me. Right? Now she's whining and complaining. You have given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother. Should I tell it to you? So she cried wherever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. So for 7 days she kept this on. At last, we see Samson's character giving in. At last, on the seventh day he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. He was willing to marry a nagging wife. Why? Because he didn't get to know her. He didn't spend time with her. You don't know people by just looking at them on the internet or just by physical appearance. You have to get to know people before you get involved. So she tormented him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young man. So we see that she was not committed to him. There was no internal commitment like honesty and faithfulness. How many know that you're not going to be committed to somebody you don't know? When it came to, I'm going to burn you and your father's house down, or the man you married, guess which one she chose? Her family. Why? Because she don't know this guy. It's hard to be committed to somebody you don't know. You just met the person. And that's why we have all these problems in society when it comes to marriage. They get married, and next thing you know, in a couple of weeks, they're getting a divorce. Why? Because they never spent time to get to know one another. And here she is nagging over and over again. Give me the answer. Tell me the riddle. And he couldn't deal with it, and he told her the answer. Four, healthy relationships don't quit when things get hard. Samson told her the riddle, and he was so angry that his wife deceived him. He had to kill 30 men to pay the price for the 30 garments, and he never consummated the marriage. He was so angry, it says in verse 19, but Samson was furious about what happened that he went back home to live with what? With his father and mother. In other words, the marriage hasn't even started yet, and he already left. He quit on his wife because he doesn't know her like that. You understand? It's easy to quit on people you don't know. He said, forget about it. I'm not dealing with this. He left his wife and went back home to his mother and father because he didn't want to deal with problems. He was so upset that he got played 2 times. But the question is, whose fault was it? Samson made bad decisions, and now he's angry and frustrated, taking it out on other people and leaving the wife that he pledged to marry. If you read early on what we said, she looks good to me. She's pleasing to the eye. She's wonderful. Now he's not saying that anymore. Why? Because he found out who she really was. There was no internal commitment. There was no internal faithfulness. None of that in her life. She was quick to give him up, and he ran back to his parents' house. How long did that marriage last? Didn't even get started. He didn't even consummate the marriage. And we got to be careful, men, that when we get married, there will be problems. There will be situations. And the easiest thing to do will be to quit and to leave your family. But that's not God's will for any marriage. You work it out, and you pray, and you fast together, and you believe God to help you in your marriage, because God's will is that none should get a divorce. And sometimes there is exceptions for that when it comes to adultery and fornication, or if there's physical abuse. You know that if you don't get out of there, the guy's going to kill you. I don't believe that's Jesus' will for you to be there, and the guy kills you. So he left. Samson couldn't deal with it. We see again Samson's character. How quick was he to say, get her for me, I want to marry her. And then 7 days later, I'm leaving this. She's not my wife. I didn't commit to this. Notice how he made bad decisions. And now he's frustrated. And now he's angry, full of rage and bitterness based on the decision that he made. And we got to be careful, church, not to take out on other people bad decisions that we have made. Like Samson, it was all his fault. He could have avoided all this. But since he was driven by the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, it led him to this bad decision. And then five, strong relationships deal with anger and frustration before they escalate. So it says in verse 20, his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best friend at the wedding. So Samson leaves, his wife gets remarried, he doesn't know that, and now Samson's at the farm back home, and then he starts thinking about it. You know what, I should go back and send the flowers, maybe I got upset too quick. You know what, I'm going to go back and I'm going to make things right. He had enough time to think about it. At that time, there were no flowers, but look at what he brings us, Judges chapter 15, verse 1. Later on, during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat, that's equivalent to flowers today, as a present for his wife. He intended to sleep with her, but her father wouldn't let him. In other words, I got to go back, consummate the marriage. I overreacted. You know, I got mad and I just left. Let me make things right. And then her father wouldn't let him go into the room. And then in verse 2, the father tells her, I really thought you hated her. Her father explained, so I gave her marriage to your best man. But look, her sister's more beautiful than she is. Marry her instead. Samson said, this time I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do to you Philistines. His wife remarries. He stormed off. As far as the father's concerned, he's not coming back. There was no communication or anything. He just left. And now he wants to come back and pretend that everything's going to be cool and everything's going to be nice, not knowing that his wife remarried. How many have experienced that in life? You know, the guy leaves or the woman leaves and the person expects the person to be sitting around waiting for them. They move on. If you left your wife with your kids, you know, for years and don't come back, look, they might remarry. They might move on in life. They're not going to be sitting around waiting for you. So we see again Samson's immaturity. There was no communication. He just took off. It was easy for him to make a quick commitment, as easy as it was for him to say, I'm leaving you as well. He was weak in faith and weak in character, and everything was based on the physical. There was no substance to that relationship. So now he's really angry, and he says, look, what I do from this point on to you Philistines, my hands are clean. Frustration after frustration, he lost his wife, you know, to another man, and he lost money because he had to give, you know, all those clothes to the Philistines. Now he's just angry and frustrated and bitter, and now he takes 300 foxes, ties their tails together and lights a torch and lets them loose in the Philistines' field, and that was a big blow economically. How many know that at that time everything was agriculture? So he burned all their fields with 300 foxes. And then they come to fight with him. He fights with them, you know, and he beats up a whole bunch of them because God had given them the strength. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. He was called of God, but he had a moral weakness that kept them from fulfilling what God wanted him to do. And number six, strong relationships are built on the foundation of faith. And this is the most important one, the foundation of faith. We see Samson compromised by marrying an unbeliever. In the Jews' custom and religion, they were not allowed to marry any foreigner because God said if you marry a foreigner, you're going to end up worshiping their gods and following them. How many know that the greatest influential person in your life is your husband or your wife? She influences you and he influences you for the good or for the worse. And God understood that if the Jews marry anyone outside of their faith, eventually their heart will be led astray into worshiping other gods. And that's why Samson, who was the wisest man that ever lived, God gave him tremendous wisdom. Later in his old age, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, yes, Samson was full of muscles in his head. Solomon, the wisest man, and in his old age, the Bible said that he married 700 wives and 300 concubines. And in his old age, the Bible says that his wives turned his heart away from the Lord. It can happen to anybody. That's why the person you marry is the most important person, the most important decision that you will make in your life. So Samson compromised by marrying an unbeliever. That was the first mistake he did, marrying an unbeliever. And from there on, everything went downhill. He married someone that was supposed to be their enemy. and they were not committed to him. They didn't care about him, but he was driven by the lust of the eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, this is the most explainable verse when it comes to marrying unbelievers. Look at what it says. Do not be mixed match with unbelievers. Is that clear enough? Do not be mixed match with unbelievers. For what does light have in common with darkness, and what does righteousness have in common with wickedness? Nothing. Do not be mixed match with unbelievers, because there's a lot of issues that emerge from that. And if you're married today and your husband or your wife is not a spouse, is not saved, and you're a believer, Paul the Apostle gives advice and says, you stay with that person and pray for them, because of you, they're sanctified by the wife, and the husband is sanctified by the wife, and the wife is sanctified by the husband. And then Paul says, you don't know, wife, whether you can save your husband, and you don't know, husband, whether you can save your wife. But if the unbeliever wants to leave, let him leave, because a brother or sister is not the bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. So that's the rule. If you're with an unbeliever that doesn't know the Lord, you stick with it. But if the unbeliever leaves, you can't do anything about it. Just pray for their salvation. But I'm talking to those who are single and the young people that have never made a commitment to marriage. Do not be mixed match with unbelievers. A common faith leads to three things. Common values. When you marry a believer, you have common values. What are the values for the believer? Love, being honest, holiness, wanting to please God. These are common values that if the person's not a believer, he's not going to honor honesty. They're going to lie, cheat behind your back. He has no regard for these values. So we have common values. And the second thing, common commitments. When you marry a believer and you're a believer, you're committed to marriage. You have a common commitment to marriage, a commitment to prayer, a commitment to going to church, a commitment to reading the Word, a commitment to one another. If you marry a non-believer, they might not have that same commitment. As soon as it gets hard and they're immature, they're going to leave, because their mentality is, I just find somebody else. They don't have the same commitments. The third thing, the common goals. Sharing the gospel, making disciples, raising up godly children. When you're married and you have common faith, you have common goals. You two are a team. You're working in the same team, not against the other. And those common goals bind that couple together. That is the most important thing. Every relationship that's a Christian has to be based on faith. If that element is not there, you're going to have a lot of problems ministering to your husband or your wife. Going to be a lot of issues. So common goals. A compromised faith, on the other hand, leads to what? Compromise of moral standard. Samson compromised. He married an unbeliever. But not only that, Samson ate from a dead lion. And one of the rules of the Nazarite was that he cannot go near any dead body. How many know that when you compromise in God's word in one area, it's easier to compromise in another area? Right? What stopped Samson? Big deal, I'm marrying an unbeliever. Big deal, I can't touch, a dead body. He ate honey, and then he gave to his parents and didn't tell them. He wasn't stupid either. He realized if he told his parents, they were going to tell him, you're a Nazarite. You're not supposed to be doing that. You have a high calling in God. What are you doing compromising? But he began compromising in his life little by little by little, compromising a moral standard. He did not really care about the call of God upon his life. This man was called to save his Jewish people from the Philistines, but he allowed his sinful nature to overtake him. And all of a sudden, he starts slipping lower and lower and lower, to the point that in Judges chapter 16, verse 1 says, one day Samson went to the Philistines' city of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. What is the man of God doing spending the night with a prostitute, church? Because when you compromise in one area, your whole morality begins to break down. Samson had the mentality, look, I lost my wife. They deceived me. You know, my life is ruined. He had the mentality that he didn't care anymore. He was just going to wild out. That he would go to this town in Gaza and just sleep with a prostitute there. A man that was anointed by God, that the power of God came upon him. And one time, he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. He was called of God, set apart from his mother's womb. Anointed by God, but he never dealt with his immaturity. He never dealt with the sinful lust of sexual desires. And after a while, your sin will find you out. After a while, if you don't deal with the sin in you, like Charles Spurgeon said, the sin that you don't kill will eventually kill you. And it caught up to Samson, and my heart breaks for Samson because he was anointed by the Spirit of God to do something great, and he allowed his sinful nature to get the best out of him. And here he is in bed with a prostitute, and when the Philistines hear about this, they surround the whole house. And at midnight, Samson gets up, and they try to fight with him, which they can't, because the power of God was still come upon him, and he was able to beat up all those guys. That at one time, he went out to the city of Gaza, took the gates of the city, put them on his shoulders, and walked out with the gates in his back. He was so strong. God was still merciful. God was still showing him grace after everything he did. Because he still had not cut his hair. And the power of Samson was based upon the covenant and the sanctification that his hair was not cut off. And the anointing remained there even though he made a bad decision in marriage, even though he slept with a prostitute. The anointing was still there. Isn't God good that sometimes he allows us to minister even when we're a mess? The Holy Spirit sometimes uses us. You know, and even ministers that are in adultery or fornication or lying or stealing money from the church, God can still use them to win souls and to minister and all that, but that doesn't last long. God will always give time to repent because of his love and his mercy, but eventually the sin will expose you. We fast forward to Samson's life. The Bible says that he went into another city and he fell in love with a woman named Delilah. Now, he didn't get married to her. He gave up on marriage a long time ago. It doesn't work. So he was basically shacking up with her or just, you know, fooling around with her. And they went to Delilah, the rulers of the Philistines, and told her, deceive your man. Deceive Samson. Tell us where his great strength lies. And each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Translation, a lot of money. For Delilah, this was a way out to be rich and get out of her situation. The Bible doesn't say she was a prostitute. She was just a woman that Samson fell in love with. And you notice the pattern in Samson's life, how easy he falls in love and falls out of love. Is that true love? No, because you can't love somebody you don't know. People say, oh, I love this woman. I got to marry her and all that. They don't even know her. I met this guy on the internet. I'm in love. I'm moving to Texas. They'll be right back. Because when they get there, they find out the guy was a liar, a deceiver. He told the same story to 20 other girls. You can't love someone you don't know. It takes time and time and time and time. And like I told my wife, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that I love her more now than I first met her because the love is different. It's a different type of love. And those who've been married for a long time, you know that love is different. It's a love of companionship, of sharing your life with that other person, of ups and downs, of journeying through this walk of life together. How many can say amen? It's a different kind of love. So they paid Delilah, and Delilah went to Samson and told him, tell me where your great strength lies. And Samson said, look, if you use brand new bowstrings that have never been dried, I shall be weak and become like any other man. So Delilah comes in, ties him up with bowstrings, and she goes, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Samson rips them up and beats up the guys. And then Delilah says, you don't love me, you deceive me, all you're telling me is lies. Tell me where your great strength lies. Again, she's persistent. And then he says, if they tie me with new ropes that have never been used, I shall be weak and become like any other man. She ties him with new ropes, and then she says, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. He gets up, rips the ropes apart, and beats up the guys. She comes to him again. You've deceived me. You're lying to me. Does this sound familiar, church? Who else did this to Samson? What other woman did this to Samson? Right. Certain people date the same people all the time. And they don't wake up. They don't realize it. And I tell certain women and men, look, it's the same issues with a different guy. Right? They only date alcoholics. It's the same issue, just a different face. But the same thing. They never pick it up. Why? Because you attract who you are, not who you want. If that's what you believe you're going to get and that's the best thing God can do for you, that's the type of person you're going to attract and you're going to get committed to. I know he lied to me and he did this, but you know what? My ex did the same thing, so you kind of get used to the mess because we're creatures that are addicted to familiarity even though it's wrong. So here Samson finds himself in the same situation with a different woman. Same type of manipulation. You've deceived me, you lied to me. And, she goes on and on. And then she asks him again, tell me where your great strength lies. And then he tells her, if you were to tie the 7 braids of my head into the fabric of the loom and tighten it with a pin, I shall be weak. Now he's getting closer. Before it was just if you tie me up. Now he's getting closer to where the anointing lies, where the power of God lies, because there's power in holiness. There's power in a consecrated life unto God. He's getting closer and closer. We see Delilah weakening him. Tie my 7 braids in a loom and put a pin in it, I shall be weak. Again, Delilah does that, and then she says, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. He wakes up from his sleep, beats them up, and now she begins to cry to him and say, you don't love me. Same problem, different women. Right? You meet people with the same problem but a different guy. No, this one's different. Right? You meet a girl, no, this girl's different. Same issues with a different face. And then she whined and whined and whined and told Samson, you don't love me. You keep deceiving me. And she kept pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing him. That Samson became overwhelmed with her asking him so much that one day Samson told her his heart and told her, no razor has ever touched my head. If I am shaved, I will be as weak as any other man. And when Delilah realized that he had told her his heart, she put him to sleep on the lap. She cut his hair off and said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. What kind of man is Samson? Why does he keep falling for the same thing over and over and over again? Does this sound familiar, church? With certain people, the same thing over and over, the same guy, the same girl, over and over again. Why do they keep attracting the same type of people? And you wonder why they don't wake up. They don't see the red flags. You know, like I was talking to one of my, a nurse in my bus. She had a horrible marriage, right? And I tell her, well, you didn't see the red flags? She says, well, I must have been colorblind. They cut his hair off. And then she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And this is the saddest part of the whole story. Samson said, I'm going to get up and make myself free as I did before. But Samson did not know the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And what the Philistines did, they plucked out his eyeballs, and now he's living in darkness. A man who was supposed to be living in the light and sharing the light of God and delivering his people from the Philistines, now he's blind, living in darkness, in a mess now. They pluck out his eyeballs, and they play with him. They put him to grind grain in one of the cities. What happened to Samson? Bad decision after bad decision. Now he's blinded. He can't deliver his people. This woman deceived him, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Was God trying to deal with Samson through all those years? After the first marriage, can Samson could have went back and married a nice Jewish woman? Right? His story would have been different if he would have went back home and said, you know what, I'm marrying a Jewish woman. But he kept going after the lust of the flesh. He did not learn his lesson. He repeated it over and over and over again that the anointing of God lifted from his life. Because sometimes as believers, we think that we can sin and sin and sin and that God's presence is always going to be with us. Sometimes God says that's enough. And you see how God still used them throughout all that. But once he cut his hair, the covenant was over. The sanctification was over. The anointing was over. And the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. And they blinded him. So he compromised of moral standards, compromised spiritual responsibility. Samson was called to be a judge, a leader in Israel. That was his calling, to be a leader and a judge. God wanted to use him mightily, but he compromised in his spiritual responsibility. He didn't step up to the plate. He was weak. He needed validation from women. That's the way he kind of satiated himself. He was driven towards relationships, even though they were ungodly. And he compromised with spiritual potential. He could have been a great leader in Israel. But because he married someone that was not a believer, and then he slept with a prostitute, and then he told a woman who didn't really care about him, who sold him for 1,100 pieces of silver, she became rich. And now here he is, blinded with no eyeballs, because they back then they used to pluck their eyes out, and no Spirit of God upon him. And one day, the Philistines were at their temple of Dagon, which was their false gods. And they were drinking and partying. And they said, you know what? Let's have some fun. Bring in Samson so he could entertain us. So they brought in Samson so that they could be entertained as they watched him going around with his eyes plugged out and everybody laughing and making fun of him and goofing off. Look at this great guy. You know, he was so powerful. And they're just mocking him. The enemy making amusement out of the man of God. That was not God's will for Samson. And the young man who was holding on to Samson's arm, Samson told him, young man, do me a favor. The two pillars that are held over there, put me close to those two pillars. And the young man brought him to the two pillars. And Samson began to pray. And at this time, his hair began to grow long again. The power of God was coming back. How many know that there's restoration? You know, when you mess up, the anointing will always be there if you come back to God. They put him towards the two pillars and he prayed, Lord, strengthen me this once more and let me die with my enemies. And at that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully that he took the pillars and broke them down, that the whole building collapsed, that he killed 3,000 people, including himself. And he killed more people in his death than when he was alive. One of the saddest stories in the Bible, a man of God. Called by the Spirit of God to do something great, but he allowed the enemy to deceive him and to rob him of his anointing. He made bad decisions. So Samson shows us how not to start a marriage. And that's the story of Samson. It all takes four chapters in the book of Judges. If he would not marry that woman and done all these different things, we would have heard more about Samson. He would have been a great deliverer. So he died with a lot of potential, but he allowed the lust of his eyes and the lust of his sinful flesh, the sexual appetites, to get a hold of him. And this is what it led to the man of God. He died with his enemies with his eyes plugged out. Church, don't you think that Satan still wants to do that to his people? Right? You have a great woman of God serving the Lord. She gets involved with some guy who pretends to be a Christian. Next thing you know, she's backslidden and doing all these different things. What happened? We got to use wisdom. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God and say, Lord, bring me a man of God. Bring me a woman of God. Don't compromise your faith. Stay strong in the things of God, and God will bring you that person. Spend most of your time developing yourself so that you can attract the right type of people. Right? A woman says, well, I don't know why I attract all these guys that all they want to do is sleep with me. Well, look at the way you're dressed. In other words, they're a walking advertisement, a walking billboard, right? Or they're going to attract those whoremongers. You know, one time I talked to a girl, and she was like, oh, I'm dating. I met this guy in Plenty of Fish. I saw the look. The only thing you're going to find there is sharks. So get out of there quick. So the main thing in how not to start a marriage is don't marry an unbeliever. That will save you a tons of headache. Marry a believer. And if, like I said, if you're married to an unbeliever, work it out. Stick it out. Pray. You know, work what you have. But for those who are young that are not married, or you who are older that are single, pray and work on your own life. And God will bring you the right person. Amen. Why don't we stand as we close?